The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
You are listening to the broadcasting service provided by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated. We are Radio Memphis.
Grab your gear, grab your ass. Load-in happens right now. It's the Radio Memphis Load-In. A conversation with the people behind the scenes to make your shows work. Right here at Radio Memphis.
That's right. You guys have been waiting for this show right here. It is the third tier to the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series. It is time for the Radio Memphis Load In with me, Dirty D, and Ken Barr. But first, let me play you a song. Here's Ty Kettle.
It was more than a
That's Ty Kettle for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned into the Radio Memphis Load In. That's right. This is the very first monthly show right here, brought to you by Radio Memphis and none other than Ken Barr Films. And this is something that we've been really building up to. You guys have seen all the logos rolling around. You've seen us do some interviews. You've seen us do the road tips on Monday nights during Memphis Metal Mondays. And this is where we get to go behind the scenes. We sit down with the pros. We talk about all the cool magic that happens behind, you know, that concert that you went to see, behind that record that you just bought, behind that huge event that you just enjoyed. And you know, this is one of those deals where we finally decided that what we were going to do is start pulling some of those guys back in, and we were going to have some fun. So this show right here is definitely dedicated to the road crew, and it wouldn't be right if I didn't have my co-host who calls in, Mr. Ken Barr himself. How are you doing, honey?
I am awesome, Dee. How are you doing?
I am fantastic, man. We're here. We made it.
Yeah, this is part three of Take Over the Radio Station, I think. This is the third installment, and, you know, we started out a few months ago, and, man, things have really grown, haven't they?
Well, think about it, sweetheart, okay? We did this in less than 100 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to think about that.
We've pulled in some amazing people. Thank you to everyone, and shined a light on things a lot of people hadn't realized. And I can't imagine where we're going to be in three more months. It's really growing. It's taking on a life of its own in a way.
It has. And you know, and for everybody that's tuned in, first of all, they normally don't hear me like on a Thursday night on the station. So everybody, I cannot tell you, my phone has been blowing up. My messenger's been like, what are you doing? Oh my God, what is this? You know?
Yeah.
And I have just been so thrilled and so excited, and just I've had a blast, you know, talking with everybody up until this point. And I have to make sure, because there's a lot of people that are tuned in that are just now kind of getting wind of what we're doing. And what I want them to understand is that I ultimately met you, you know, when we decided to do an interview with you because of your book, We Are the Road Crew. And, mm-hmm. you and I, and we got to spend some time on the phone, and you understood, you know, where, you know, kind of my passion, you know, not only for music, you know, music industry and artists and, you know, and their development and things like that, but everything else that comes along down the pike. And what ultimately innocently started as a conversation just for me to get to know you so we could do our interview turned into, you know, just a full blown idea of, okay, we got to talk to all these people. Because, you know, one of the things that I really appreciated was that when you started sharing your stories, you know, and you started sharing your stories with, you know, the fact that you did stuff with Alice Cooper and the fact that you did stuff with, you know, Debbie Gibson and the fact with Kiss, you know, and all this. But, you it was amazing with the groups that you actually were able to work for. But was even more amazing to me was the people, your team, you know, and your brothers and sisters and stuff, you know, that were helping you pull these shows together. And so what was really sweet was that when we first met, we didn't get off the phone with each other for like 2 weeks, and we were like blah blah blah, and it was story after story. And so June the 23rd is when you did your interview, you know, so we could learn about you right here on Radio Memphis. And for those of you who would like to learn more about Ken Barr and know what I'm talking about, radio-memphis.com, Radio Memphis On Demand, his interview is up there. Go grab it and go listen to it when you get a chance to. But by the time, the day that you did the interview, we had already decided that we were going to do something. And everybody up until that point was kind of like, okay, what's going on here? And once everybody, you started reaching out, you know, to, you know, some key people, you know, everybody jumped on board, and it's been a crazy cool ride, and it keeps getting better and better and better. And I can't thank you enough, Ken. I really can't.
No, I can't. I appreciate you. You know, it's one of those early conversations, you know, saying, people just want to be heard, and it means a lot.
Sure,
and
it does.
It really does. I think we're really seeing that, you know. And I think it was Mickey Goodwin said, you know, he had found out stuff about us that he didn't know, and you know, it's kind of reinvigorating the old friendships and family ties, and it's a good thing. And you know, from what I've seen, everybody's loving it, and you know, it's just, well, as I said, you know, anxious to see what's going to happen next. It's just really cool.
It is. It is. And of course, you know, what's really funny is that it's been a lesson for me, you know, because this, you know, this is, you know, this, look, we're all in the industry in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, when we started jumping into what everybody does with road crew, and that could be, you know, being a tech, you know, that could be doing, you know, stage managing, you know, that could be doing lighting, you know, that could be doing, you know, front of the house, back of the house, you know, live sound, all of it, you know, putting it, you know, breaking it down, you know, putting it up, all of it. It was, you know, the more I got into it, it's a whole nother world. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. And this is, you know, there's a breed, there's a special breed that does this and gets it, you know, and it's very, very important, because one of the key things that, you know, that you guys and ladies, of course, you know, do is make, you know, an event or make a show or make a product, you know, absolutely amazing, so that when somebody, you know, consumer grabs it, they're like, oh my God, that's fantastic. So, you know, kudos to you.
Well, that's the way to, you know, to approach every show you do. You know, you never half-ass it, because the thought is always, you know, there are people that work real hard and save their money and get to do maybe one or two things a year, and this concert may be one of them. So,
right,
you know, it's important. I mean, it's your pride, it's your career, it's all those things, and I think it's that attention to detail and want and desire to have an amazing event that get you to the level where you're working for Alice Cooper or some of those other groups. And I think the guys that are like, good enough, you know, those are the guys that just don't, you know, graduate and move up.
Sure.
And I think that's important, you know. People work hard. I remember my first concert, Kiss, at Madison Square Garden. I was 14 or 15. And that was life-changing. I, you know, Gene Simmons flew through the air. I was just out of my head. And, you know, Ace Frehley shooting rockets out of that guitar. And I just was like, you know, and it was life changing. Well, obviously,
of
because
course.
I was on tour with those guys 15 years later.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the beautiful thing. That's a beautiful story for you. Is that, you know, for you to be the kid and so enamored and so, you know, you know, mesmerized, amazed, and then turn out, you know, 15 years later, you're in the liner notes and you're on stage with them. You know,
well, it's like the old immigrants. Only in America could this happen. Only in America could I have my own apple cart and work for Gene Simmons.
The fact that you can even make that statement is awesome.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That's okay. No, you know, and just and looking back on everything, you know, the stories are hilarious. You know, and even with you know some of the people that you've been able to, you know, share the responsibilities with, you know, and on top of that, it was another learning experience just to realize what it was and what it took, you know, in order to put on a great show. And you know, that's one of those things for me. The way that industry is now, I mean, yes, there's all this technology. Yes, there's all these crazy cool things that are happening, and yes, there's all these little, you know, effects and knobs and twisty things and all this other cool stuff that you can, you know, make some magic happen. But you know, innately, I like talking to the ones that were the trailblazers, and I like talking to the ones that, that made stuff happen, you know, that, that served as a platform for where we are now, because I feel like it's important that, you know, the generations now and onward, you know, need to understand where it came from, one, and also, two, there's still some tips and tricks that still work no matter where you're at.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny, the one of the stops you always make when you're on the road, if you're in Memphis, you go to Graceland, you just do, you know. And one of my first times going there, they have this one wall with all pictures of Elvis, you know, through the years. And there's this awesome, gorgeous shot of him live in concert, like 1973. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? What? And then it dawned on me, the Downstage Edge didn't have monitors. They hadn't been used yet.
Ah.
You know, you were still, you know, singing against the drummer's snare drum and hi-hat. And it's like, oh, my God, there's the king. And he didn't have, you know, the king don't need no monitors. It's just things we take for granted, you know, in your monitors now where everything, you have a perfect stereo mix in your headset. But in 73, the king didn't have a wedge. He didn't have anything. And it's just, it's come so far. And that's just one very, very small example. But it's just, you know, the industry has grown. And everything, you know, you're putting out a better product when you have more to work with. And in-ear monitors allow you to have a better mix, a better sound, a better grasp of what you're doing. And it's one of, you know, a million little different things that just, you know, have improved over the years and made for a better show, a better product.
Absolutely. You know, and seeing you would know these things.
Yeah. What, for those that don't know, in-ear monitors are those things they look like you're wearing hearing aids, and it's like wearing a headphone, you know, with a CD. Well, I'm sorry, we don't do CDs anymore. Whatever, an MP3. I don't even know if we do those. It's a cool, whatever. But it's a perfect stereo mix of your 8-track tape, we'll call it that.
See, but you know, we get that. That's probably the better mix anyway.
Yeah, exactly. The old reel-to-reel, that's all I ever needed. Sneaking in my reel-to-reel to record the Grateful Dead when they were playing.
We'll see. There he goes. God damn, Ken.
So, yeah, you know, and there again, I mean, the Grateful Dead, I forget what tour it was in the, you know, in the 70s, where the PA was stacked behind them. It was this mountain of PA, and every microphone position had two microphones, and they were thrown out of phase with each other so they wouldn't feed back.
Right.
Like, oh my God, I can't, I'm dying to hear that, to have a wall of PA behind me and hit a guitar. I'm dying to, and I'll never hear that because nobody does that, but it's like,
no.
You know, I saw pictures of that, and I was like, well, they probably don't do that anymore for a good reason, but it seemed like a great idea at the time.
It's a little expensive, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, but you know, that's rock and roll. We throw money around. Well, not anymore. Not like it used to be. Everything was a good idea.
Maybe. I mean, actually, you know, I don't know. There's some nice money being thrown around. Just, you know, there's some other crazy places. You know, when it comes to that stage, or it comes to those things that happen. You know, things that happen.
Oh yeah.
You know. And
yeah. When you see the moving trusses, like if you go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and the moving trusses and the pyro, and it's just. Yeah, and they've always got the state-of-the-art lighting and sound. I mean, they're top-notch everything they do.
Right.
And it's like, there's money well spent. You see it. You see what you're getting for your buck. And it's well, I don't know if you've ever seen them live, but...
I have not seen them live. And, you know, I hate that, because that is one of the... That was, like, always one of my bucket list kind of things to do, you know? And they've been, you know, even when the couple of times and stuff, you know, they've actually even come through Memphis and stuff, it was when, you know, for whatever point and reason, you know, I wasn't able to go. And every time I've ever heard anything, it was always like, oh my God, I can't believe you missed that, you know?
It's one of those things you got to see at least once. I haven't seen it in a few years just because of scheduling conflicts and all, but you know, my old brother Al Petrelli, as we all know, is one of the primary people involved in that, and you know, he's part of what makes that show so good.
Absolutely. You know, and it was actually Christmas, right before Christmas, it was the beginning of December this past year, that we were actually able to catch up with Al on Radio Memphis, and it was cool climbing into his world and climbing into his head, you know, about, you know, some of that, and again, you know, because even he goes into, you know, some of the thought processes of what happens when things are going down with stage and things are going down with, you know, the music music and you know, yeah, what it is that, you know, you guys wind up having to, you know, to deal with and make happen. And it's you know, for that caliber of a show, you know, what you guys do is insane, you know, because you have to be able to make all of those parts and all of those pieces fit and all the lighting and, you know, all the motions and all the movement and everything else work just so that it can actually, you know, be portrayed and it actually can, you know, be related, you know, to the audience, you know, for a certain mood or a certain effect or a certain feeling or whatever the case may be, you know?
And one of the, I mean, everything about that organization is impressive to me, but one of the things that really stands out is on the weekends, they do two shows. They're ready for their first show at 2 p.m.
Right.
And that's impressive as anything. And, you know, they do two full shows, and God bless them. I don't know how they do it, but I guess, you know, they have a short season to tour on, so they've got to do what you got to do, but it doesn't make it any easier. And band and crew, I give a hat off to all of them. They're all amazing.
They're absolutely amazing. Well, I
remember working with Al when he was in a band called Talus. I don't know if you even know.
Oh, my God, yeah. Are you kidding? I can't believe you brought that name up. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was Al, Bruno Ravel was the bass player who later formed Danger Danger. Phil, the original singer. An old dear friend of mine, John Michelli, was on drums at the time. He's been with Meatloaf and a lot of bands for a long time now. And a guy named Gary Bavona, I think, was the keyboard player. And they were a great band, great players. And I got to do a couple of shows with them before, I think, Talus was officially finally done.
Wow.
And those songs are so good. You know, but there's another example of a band who, in their day, top-notch songs, top-notch players, Billy Sheehan, Mitch Perry. And why were those guys not, you know, out there doing it and bigger than they were? It's just, it's a crazy business.
It is a very crazy business. And you would know because you were in the middle of it. And I tell you, you know, this is the first Radio Memphis load-in. And it would not have been complete if we didn't have another individual that's going to be joining us here after the break. And this is probably about the point where the show is going to go into complete comedy and hysterics. What I need to do is I'm going to stop down. I'm going to take a quick break and do a commercial. I'm going to play another song for everybody. And in fact, I purposely picked the song and you'll know it when you hear it. Okay. Because this one is for you specifically, Ken, because, you know, one of your best all-time brother, best friends of your world is in this particular next group. And so I'm going to share that with everybody. We'll talk about it when you come back from the break. How about that?
All right. I'll be standing by.
All right, baby. Don't go anywhere. Okay.
You got it.
All right. Now, those of you that have tuned in, you are tuned in to the first official Radio Memphis load-in right here at radio-memphis.com. We're going to have some fun. And I believe there's a call coming in from the UK right after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go away. The Radio Memphis load-in continues right after this.
That's a little Vinyl Rain for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned into the Radio Memphis load-in with me, Dirty D, and I am hanging out with my co-host, Mr. Ken Barr. And honey, you knew who was in that band, right?
I feel like I should.
No, that's okay. You should. And you know what? Because this goes back to a conversation that we had when we did the interview, and I did a bunch of snooping and a bunch of stalking on you. And this, you know, that particular group, you know, was actually some music that I was able to have the fortunate, you know, opportunity to play during Radio Memphis Around the World that airs on Saturdays. And when I came across some pictures, and when your pictures started kind of matching up with none other than a Mr. Greg Smith. That's one of his side projects, and I knew that. Yeah, that's why I wanted to dedicate that to you because that's your brother.
He is. Or here I go on my Greg Smith tangent here, but you know, he's such a great player. Everyone wants him, and he does a lot of stuff. And I've been on his website, and I'm like, I didn't know about that. When did he do that?
What
the fuck?
He's always, of course, everybody knows him as far as, you know, currently, as far as with Ted Nugent. Of course, he's done so much. We've done an interview. Yes, radio-memphis.com, you know, Radio Memphis On Demand. Go check it out. It's up there. But what's even cooler is that if those of you that are at Pequannock, New Jersey, if you happen to be at Barty's tomorrow night, the Greg Smith Trio is playing. And so he's got a live gig tomorrow night, you know, October 6th. So you have an opportunity.
Now, the Greg Smith Trio, is that the same thing as Off the Road, or is that a different project?
I think that's a combination. It's got Stephen Massa, and it's got Paul DeBosio, you know, in that. I don't know if that's the same thing.
I think that's a different project. Mm-hmm. I told you, he's in demand. I mean,
he is.
You know?
He is in demand.
He's good at what he does.
Speaking of in demand, I have a very special person for you who is going to be joining us all the way from the UK. And I couldn't do this first show without him, because next to you, he was, you know, in the very, very beginning, he came out of the gate swinging when we decided to do the Road Crew radio series. And I know that over the stories and over the stuff that we've talked about with not just both of you, but with other individuals that have worked with you, you two are a team, you know, to an extent. You know, it's one with the other, not one without the other, for the most part. And I think this will be a great opportunity to go ahead and bring Kevin Batty Walsh in all the way from the UK. Hey, Batty.
Hey, you still there?
Hey, Mr. Hello. Walsh.
Hello from the future.
The future is calling.
Am I still fat in the future?
you've actually lost a couple of ounces. You lost your wallet.
I've lost my wallet. That's all right. It was empty when I lost it. So.
Yeah, no, I found it.
Oh, you two.
Bets again.
Batty Walsh. You two. Also, before we get into some conversation, I want to let you guys know, as soon as the show was getting ready to start tonight, my phone started
blowing. Your listening figures went up.
I knew that my phone would blow up some, but John Cecilli, man, he wanted to make sure you two knew that he is listening.
Oh, all right. Cool,
but everybody loves the
show.
Hey,
Chazuli,
what's
up? Gabooly. He's up this early? What? Why am I? Must be out in his body.
He's not gone to bed, I suppose. He just stayed up and carried on right through.
Apparently, yeah. So. Well, he says it's past your bedtime, Batty.
it's past my bedtime, and it's time for breakfast.
And that it is, too. That it is, too.
Yeah.
Kevin, I want to thank you too, before we get into some fun stuff, you know, for being so cool and so supportive when we decided to do the Radio Road Crew series, because you jumped in and you were like all about it. And not only are you all about it, you're across the pond, you're in the UK, and
yeah,
and you've been spreading some news and you've been spreading some fun, and you know, you've been having fun, you know, with
some
us.
Love.
Absolutely. And you know, and I've been feeling it all the way over here in Memphis, and I, you know, and I can't thank you enough.
Hey, that's fine, man. I've got a lot of people over here now who are probably tuning in as well, and they're well interested in it. It's probably too early for a lot of them, and they're just finishing work. But yeah, there's all sorts going on over here, and boosting your figures. I know that.
perfect. But you know, for you two, I always go through some of the stuff and some of the pictures, you know, of some of the things that you, and some of the shows that you guys have been able to kind of work with. You know, I want you to tell Kevin how it was when you guys first met. What'd you think?
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want the touchy feely stuff too.
I thought, wow, there's a stout young lad might be able to
drink a beer.
I was kind of dropped into it because the Cooper Tour was already out, and the crew were already, you know, brothers, and they'd done a run through Europe, and I was in Australia doing something else, and I couldn't do that first run. So, I mean, I came in, I kind of was like the new guy. Plus, it was a big show, and it was Alice Cooper. I was a fan. So, I mean, I came in as Al Petrelli's guy, you know, after the tour had started. So I was just kind of, like I said, just dropped into the boiling pot, and if it wasn't for the fact that I was already a fan, I mean I was, you know, running the pedal board and doing all that stuff. I loved everyone pretty quickly, but you know, the first couple, I mean, Batty kind of showed me the ropes, you know. Because he was Bat, you were doing Petrel before I came out, weren't you?
Yeah, I think what happened is after my first initiation with Raise Your Fist and Yell, when I met all the dancers and all the guys, when the next one went out, and one of your American compadres, who's an honorary Londoner, Dutch Michaels, he was out doing T-Bone and Pete, and I was doing Al and Derek, and
yeah,
then
and
you came
and
out
when
off
I,
something.
Then when I freed up, I told him I went there and you slid over.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
he was.
So Bat showed me the ropes when, you know, I was a little nervous because I was dropped into a big show and no rehearsal, no nothing, and I, you know, just gotten off of another tour, and Bat was a lifesaver. He, you know, this is how it goes. This is where I put Al's stuff. This is what I do here. Here's where you light a cigarette and then hand in the oxygen container. So my first impressions of Bat were, you know, this guy's hooking me up, and I appreciate it. I mean, quite honestly.
Aww.
You know, 2-3 shows in, I kind of started to hit my groove, but, you know, it's rough, you know, sliding in, you know, as the new guy and no rehearsals and just, okay, there's going to be, you know, a crap ton of people out front. Don't screw up. And Al's the star of the band and all this other nonsense. And you're like, okay, here we go.
This is
I think that first night too, I handed him a guitar without a whammy bar on it. I'd forgotten to put it on, and he's looking at me like, "What are you, stupid?"
Well, now, okay, so Batty's version, you know, Kevin, what did you know when you know Kenny, you know, Kenny, was it Kenny Barbeer? Is that your name?
That came in Japan later on.
Yeah, well, yeah, and apparently you had earned it, from what we understand. And of course, those of you that are tuned in, you tune into the Radio Memphis Load-In, man, with D and Ken Varr, and we got Batty on the phone. Now, Batty, when Kenny showed up in your life, you know, what'd you think of him?
Oh, he's been too kind, actually. It makes it sound like it was his first pony ride, but Kenny was well into it. I could have had it rough when I stepped into the coupe thing, because I was really thrown into it one evening. I think I've told you before, I just got a phone call at home, and it's, can you come to Paris tonight?
Right.
And that was Raise Your Fist and Yell, and then soon found out I was probably the only English guy on the crew of all these Americans who could have really, like, really gone to town on me, but they didn't. So it's Putter and Dancer and, you know, all these people took me in. So when Kenny came in, it was like, oh, another American. I'm really on my own now. I'm getting outnumbered seriously here. I mean, straight away, I knew Kenny knew his stuff straight away. You just know. You can tell. And Al had told me that he'd known him from Long Island, and I thought, that's great. You know, you'll be in there. But straight away, it was, we're going to be all right here. This is sound. And he dropped right into the gig. And then I think when you go out and have that first beer on the bus, or have a day off and have a beer, it's like, yeah, man, we're just like... And I've often said to Ken, over the years, I don't know how we never crossed paths 30 years ago, because Kenny was doing all the same sort of stuff I was doing.
Right.
And
yeah.
And I go to America and do my very first gig, the very first time I went to America and set foot in your country, was at Radio City Music Hall. It's like, fuck,
no, I know, right?
Here I am. And the next gig the next day was at the Ritz, was it the Ritz, Ken? That place where you're loading up the front stairs. And it's,
yeah, that was the old Ritz. You had to go up like five flights of stairs.
I get into America, and the next, the first gig I do is Radio City, and I'm still on the stage there thinking, fuck, wow. And then the gig the day after is the Ritz, and I'm going, oh shit, you know.
Here we are.
Like in England. But Kenny had done all these gigs, and it's, over the years, it's just weird how we never come across each other. And
it was. It's we were doing all the same gigs. It's just, you know, out of sync, I suppose.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe so. Yeah. With you two, I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, and again, you know, both of you have, you know, a very, very cool, you know, background as far as the different groups and bands and stuff, you know, Batty, I mean, my God, you know, all I have to say is Iron Maiden, you know, and I still want them, by the way.
I'll get them.
I'm just telling you, I'm just, look, you were going to deliver one of them to me, you know?
I'll deliver one of them. I'll get them all.
Well, I'm right. I mean, come on. Bruce is like all in the, man, he just got his, you know, he just had his you know, his biography come out, and you know, he's got a new beer out and stuff. I mean, I want him.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, and you guys have worked with some pretty cool, you know, cool people. One of the funny things with Kenny when we got started, and how I even got to, you know, meet you, you know, Batty, and meet everybody else that comes down the pike after this, was that, you know, the convergence on, and we talk about this all the time, and I know it's kind of funny because we try to branch out to other places, and we do, but you know, this Alice Cooper thing keeps coming up, you know, and yeah. And you know, during that time period when those shows were going on and those shows were created and those shows were being put on, I mean, that was like cream of the crop, you know, people, you know, behind the scenes, you know, on the stage and everything else, and so that was a very impactful time for both of you, you know, to be on those to be on that set, right?
Yeah, I mean, I always think the only reason I got the job with Iron Maiden is because they're big Alice Cooper fans.
Mm.
And Dave Murray, the guitarist Dave Murray, is a member of the Magic Circle. He's an illusionist and really good.
Right.
And I first met him, he's like, how does Alice get his head cut off? And I said, well, if you're a member of the Magic Circle, you know that I can't possibly tell you that.
What kind of joke is that?
And I think the guys he gets in his bands as well. If you've worked for Alice Cooper, it's not too bad thing to have on your CV. I mean, there you go, Greg Smith and Pete Friesen, T-Bone, all these people, Derek Alvitrelli. I mean, they're all going on to do things. The Coop's a big deal, and that show is it's the show. You have to be prepared if you're a backline guy or any one of that crew just to get involved in the show as well, which is fine by me. I didn't mind that at all. It was great.
Well, sir, yeah. It was good. It was great for both of you. But it's funny because, you know, some of the stories that come down the pike with you two, and again, it was you know, not that you guys weren't prepared, you were, and not that you didn't do a great job, you did, you know, but you two together wound up, you know, kind of being like the package deal on what we were going to do with you two. You know, and it was fun, you know what I mean? It was, you know, you kind of breathe a little life back, you know, into everybody and all their stories, you know, and it was almost like the children they wanted to take care of too, you know?
Yeah, they did until they had that extra space on the bus, and we had to shoot loads of beers to see who wanted to know all along we were going on the bus.
Well, yeah, okay. So look, both of you are on the phone right now, all right? And for those of you who've tuned in and you're wondering what the hell I'm doing on air, this is the Radio Memphis load-in. This is part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series. It is our first official monthly live show where we get to talk to the road crew and have some fun. That particular deal was the understanding there was a very, very specific setup. There was a specific deal, you know, with Dan Stevenson and him having that bus, and everybody was fighting for the last two spots. And that you guys really, 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 really didn't know that you kind of were a shoe-in. And you really thought that shooting beer was going to get you a spot. Did you really think that?
Well, it wasn't that there were two spots and we were under the impression there was one because we hadn't bothered to count as high as six that day.
That's right. We hadn't got that far.
Oh, Kenny, come on. Oh, you just broke my heart. Really?
We just didn't do math back then. It was like, oh, you want us to drink beer? Sure.
Oh, my
you
God.
You want us to drink beer to
clean us?
I can't believe you two. Yeah, all you had to do was math.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, it was the 90s, but, you know, math was not big in the 90s. It was easy to drink six Budweiser still in the plastic rings and present them for Dan's trophy.
I could do math in a couple of different languages, but it was usually just got to two.
It comes to the point where, you know, everybody's getting ready to pull out, and you guys still haven't determined, that you're on this one bus that's only got the six of you, which is kind of like, you know, the Cadillac deal of this whole ride.
Yeah, the Irish Mafia, we called it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so you were told to stand on the curb while everybody else sat and watched you shotgun beer.
Well, actually, that became something, that was no shock. They'd already seen us do it a lot. Well, at least this time we had a reason.
Yeah. I don't even know what to really. I really thought that when I would get both of you on the phone, I thought I was going to get some cool story. Like, we knew it was cool. We just liked the beer. No, you really didn't know.
No, and the bastards know that I hate Budweiser. Hey, a lot of American beers. Thank God you've got microbreweries, and then they gave me that shit to drink. But I was drinking it with Ken. It was all right, man. It tasted a lot better, you know.
Yeah, after six or eight of them, you kind of
you don't care.
Taste buds kind of deaden up a bit, and you're like, yeah, this ain't so bad.
And I'm thinking to myself, God, this shotgun. The Americans like their guns. What's this all about, Kenny? We're going to put some beer in a gun or something. He went, no, I'll show you. Check this out. And we've done that. Yeah. We've done that months before, but. Not for a place on the bus. And I was going up against my friend as well. I'm thinking, yeah, this ain't right. There's one space on the bus. And one of us is going on with the pensioners, and the others is going on the other, you know.
And then you guys didn't want to be separated. And
the Irish Embassy. No.
The Irish Embassy, yeah.
This is totally derailing here. How did you guys get anything done?
Well... luckily, that was at the end of the night when we'd all...
And that
was the other thing. We'd all showered up and got lovely and everything. Then I'm covered in beer within 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like a Formula One racing driver.
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah, and then they're watching it. And we didn't even know. Like, they were watching us out the bus. Dan Stevenson. Mike Goodwin. Dancer, old fart, and they're all watching us and shit, and they're on the bus killing themselves laughing, going, look at these fuckers, they haven't got a clue, have they? Let them do another case, throw them another case out the door. Oh, my happy, we'll drink a couple of cases of the bus beer for you, don't worry about that.
Yeah, it was all fun and games until they realized we drank all the beer on the bus and
exactly. Them right.
And then they were, and then it wasn't fun anymore.
No, and then they honored us. The two
we just robbed the other bus. That was the peasant bus anyway, so we just took their beer.
Oh, yeah. There's such a thing. There's a peasant bus. So I mean,
was that time.
So I mean,
it was the Irish Mafia. And the other bus.
The other bus. Everybody. I mean, they get treated differently. They get, you know, it's like this, like a pecking order thing.
Oh, it was total pecking order. Yeah, I mean, you're talking Dan Putter, Mickey Goodwin, and Dancer. Yeah, that's the top.
Oh, they're the top. Okay, so.
Oh yeah.
They're like cream of the crop.
We were actually quite privileged. I'll tell you, we must have been doing something right. I don't know if it was making them laugh or just not. They wanted us on their bus so we wouldn't drink all their beer ever again.
poor Ralphie was wanted to be on the Irish Mafia bus so bad, and there he was on the other bus.
What you got? Oh, and then there's Ralphie.
Yeah, he's a bigger geek.
And then there's Ralphie.
Yeah.
Actually, I got a message from him, and he deleted his own attachment before he sent it, so he's probably listening.
Okay.
Ralph, please call back.
Hey, Ralph.
It's not hard. I keep giving you
hey, Ralphie. Look, Ralphie sends me a message. He sent me a message on Facebook before. We've chatted. I don't... Ralph.
Yeah. Well, he still keeps asking me how to find the radio station. I'm like, oh, God, please, no. Don't ask me anymore.
Ralph. Poor Ralph.
Yeah. Ralph, you gotta
get
on
Ralph on, though. I demand more Ralph Ferrari in my radio load-in here, so we need some Ralph on the show.
Are you...
on any show. We need more Ralph.
What do I need to... I'm so scared.
Tell him if you want to get Ralph on, just tell him you've got chicken wings and he'll be there like a shot. he'll be there. Don't get him on a cookery show though. He'll just eat everything inside.
I don't even know what to say to that. You stop. Okay. Look, this is what I'm going to do. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere. You got to stay in. You're in for the long haul. All right. You're loading. This is load in. You're staying. Okay. We're not done. I'm going to stop down. I'm going to take a break. All right. Listen to a couple words from FSN. You know, we're going to play a song. And actually, since the first set, you know, that song was dedicated, you know, to Ken. This next one's dedicated, you know, to you, Batty, because when you hear it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And we'll talk about it when we come back through. How about that?
It's not Fragile Mortals, is it?
Final? No, it's not.
That's my tune.
No, I know it is your tune, you know, and you love it, and you've been sitting there, you've been rocking it, and I saw you like some of the stuff I put up on the metal page. No, this is actually one that you and I need to discuss, because I need to catch up with you to see how things went. That should give you a clue. So I'm going to put you guys on hold. You guys don't go anywhere, okay?
No, we're here.
All righty.
Okay, we're here. Hi, John.
All right, you guys are hanging out with me, D, Ken Barr, and of course, Kevin Batty Walsh. He's called in all the way from the UK. This is the Radio Memphis Load-In.
Hey, rookie, you're not done yet. Put down the mic cable. The Radio Memphis Load-In continues right after this.
That's Devil Fire for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned in to the very first Radio Memphis Load-In. That band right there out of the UK. And what's cool is that Jenny Tate Rock Review says that this is an album to blow all others out of the water and is seriously a contender for Album of the Year. They're talking about Dark Maneuvers right there with Devil Fire. And of course, you know, we were able to catch up with Alex Cooper live right here on Radio Memphis. It was actually during one of the Memphis Metal Monday shows that we do here on Monday night. And it was the same night, it just so happens, that I was talking to Kevin Batty Walsh when we were doing his interview for the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series. And all of this, the load-in, the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series, the tips and everything, brought to you by Ken Barr Films. And speaking of Ken Barr and Batty Walsh, I have them on the phone with me. Hi, boys.
Hey.
Yes. Hey. Devil Fire, Batty. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was funny was that you had your interview that day, that night, that Alex Cooper of Devil Fire was lined up right after, you know, you and I were on the phone together. And you wound up, you know, really liking what they had going on. You searched them out. You actually hooked up with Alex, didn't you?
Yeah. Not long after that, only a week after. They were playing a gig here in Birmingham, and I got in touch with Alex over Bookspace, Facebook's thing. And he put me on the guest list. I went down, and they were brilliant, really good. Their album's out, and their Dark Maneuvers, their album, and it's just like, yeah, here we go, another excellent rock band out of Birmingham.
Perfect.
They're really good guys, you know, and we'll probably work something out, and we'll stay in touch. And I think they're really good, you know, and they put on a great show, you know. They're all good musicians, really good.
Perfect.
Really good guys.
Absolutely perfect.
I mean, it takes a lot to go for Kenny. I'll tell you this: it takes a lot for us to go and watch a gig on a day off, or if you're involved in it, because it'd be like asking a postman to go for a walk on his day off. I just don't do it. So,
well, and I'm glad you said that, you know, because of what you guys do, you know. And so, when, you know, for you to be able to go out to a certain, you know, certain band music, especially when they're new, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That says a lot. I mean, what do you think, Kenny?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I've actually heard Bat use that analogy before, the postman going for a walk on his day off. It's, you know, you see so much music, and we, you know, we're in the industry because we love it.
Of course.
But it's also, it's easy to, you know, dismiss new bands, and it's good when you don't let yourself do that, and give them that chance, and, you know, you'll know halfway through the first song if it's a band for you or not. And, you know, one of my expressions is I'm always looking for my new favorite band, because if my favorite band changes depending on the radio. But it's always great when you see that band, you're like, yeah, these guys got it. This is something I'm going to enjoy. This is something I'm going to listen to again tomorrow, and
right,
this is something
right.
I'm going to hook up with.
Absolutely.
You know, especially in like Batty's situation or mine, where, you know, potential for a couple of gigs. And, you know, it's in a situation like that, it's not about money, it's about going out and doing a show with a band you respect. And that is all the difference. You know, there's gigs you do for money that you kick yourself and you're like, ugh. But you know, to work for a band you respect, and it's your choice, not out of necessity. It's, you can just go do that. It's a wonderful thing.
That's awesome.
And the band does sound good. You know, they are good. Now, you know, hopefully, hey, guys, come to Florida. This is where Kenny Barr lurks.
No, that's it. That's perfect. All right, now, both of you, I have a question. I mean, when you guys worked together, you know, who would you say was probably the most impactful person in your career when you guys were working together, especially on Cooper and stuff? Who was probably very impactful to you?
The Coop. Coop was the ringleader. Mm. We were his boys. That's the only tours we did together with the Coop, right?
Yeah, that was going through my head. We never toured together outside of the Coop. You did do STP, and you came and did some Coop gigs, I remember.
I'm sure.
Some festival, but we never worked together, which is a shame.
Didn't we run into each other in Rio when you were with Maiden for Rock in Rio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I thought we bumped into each other there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
somewhere.
But as far as impactful, we were all the Coops boys, and we were all proud to be the Coops boys. We were.
Yeah.
There was that portion of the show where we got our Cats versus the Jets, and you know, we'd come out as a gang and come fight Coop and the band, and
I love it.
You know, you felt very much like one of the Coops boys, and yeah, you know, the Coop showed us respect, and there's a legend showing us respect,
and
you know, he appreciated what we did, not dismissive at all, and it wasn't a situation where you're paid to be good at what you do, so it was, he appreciated everything. And there's a legend appreciating, you know, that I was there and did my job, or that Batty was there and the things we did. So, you know, you're proud to say you were on the tour with the Coop. You're proud to be one of the Coop's boys. So my answer to that question, after all this foghorn, leghorn enunciation and procreation here, is the Coop.
Wow.
Always the Coop. Sorry, Ben. I'm a bit wordy these days. As I get older, I tell more stories, and it takes longer.
That's okay.
I'm surrounded by. I never kept a diary. I never was into keeping diaries, and I found diaries going back to 1977, and they're all on the table now, and they're all my information for my book.
Look at you.
That's right. Mr. Walsh is writing a book. Is about to release as well.
Well, tell you, there's a chapter in, you know, for your book, Batty, that you probably want to include, I'm sure. And actually, I have a treat for you both.
John Cizzulli, Tim Gallup chapter, that'll be fun. Coop didn't always appreciate what we did.
I have a treat for both of you. I have somebody on the phone that would like to say hello to you. And I didn't bother telling you either one who it was going to be.
Oh.
You guys ready for him?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'll bring it.
All right. Mr. Dan Stevenson, how are you doing?
Good evening, Ms. Fryer. How are you this evening?
Oh, nice.
Ken Barr. Good evening, Ken Barr. How are you? And
hey, Dan. Welcome aboard.
I think it's a good morning.
Our
in it bag.
It's a good morning bag from over here with the barnyard impressions at the ready.
Oh, this is all yours, Dan.
Well, you know what? I just have to say this, not to belabor a tired old story, but just as a point of clarification, I have to revisit the beer and the bus incident.
And the three of you. Yes, the three of you are here now, so by all means.
Yeah. The first reason is that I'd never said this to anybody before, but during that day, I was sort of hedging a little bit, deciding whether or not, and you guys will appreciate this, rather than thinking I'm an asshole, which you do anyway, that's a given, so I'll just move on. I actually pondered that day whether or not I was going to feed our dear, dear, delightful sweetheart that we all protected and loved dearly, Kelly Timmons, whether or not I was going to feed her to the wolves or not. And then, selfishly, I thought to myself, I gotta be kidding me. This is gonna be way too fucking cool. And as far as the Budweiser goes, the only way that Budweiser ever would have passed through the door of that particular bus was only for use that night to make it even that much more insulting for Mr. Walsh.
Yeah, I know.
And the other thing that's really scary about this whole thing, in terms of their mathematical deficiencies, both of them, is it begs the question. This is my two guitar techs that I rely on.
I know.
It begs the question, how many strings are on a guitar, boys?
I was just thinking that just now. I was like, boy, I guess you have a couple of bass techs on that tour.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Four.
We can tune the hell out of a bass. Yeah, give us the whole guitar. Oh, God, we're screwed.
Steve Steele and the Evad. Wasn't he the drummer, Steve Steele? I can't remember now. Well, there you go. See. Four, anyway.
What was that, Pat?
Wasn't four strings on a guitar. So Greg Smith had four, T-Bone Caradonna had four, and Steve Steele had four. Wasn't he a drummer? I don't know. I don't know. Unless you got one of them 12-string guitars, I don't know, then... 18 strings with a string neck. I'm getting good at math.
What? I don't even know what to say to this.
I wouldn't wash that bus with Budweiser.
As I said, math.
They can throw any technicalities
things
that you want, but anybody on the street, you ask them how many strings are on a guitar, they're going to fucking tell you six.
Six? Is it six? That's where they've been going wrong.
Six.
Watching C6 Steve too much.
You've got that one gimpy one at the end, Bat, that's never quite in tune. Because I didn't realize there were six on here.
You're supposed to tune them up as well. How does that go?
Oh.
They prefer it. They get funny that way.
You know.
Well, now you have to tune them.
How does
that work?
Was this how it was on the road, guys? I'm just asking.
Well, the funny thing about these two guys is that these two guys were a complete paradox, because Kenny, and this has a lot to do with Al Petrelli, who is a demanding guy, and don't get the wrong idea, for I love Al, I always have, he's a genius.
Yes.
And for all the right reasons, Al was a handful because he was a perfectionist, so Kenny had his hands full with Al. And by the time Kenny set up stage left guitar world, where Al's stuff was and Ken's stuff was, it looked like Frankenstein's laboratory. Ken had tube testers from Thomas Edison's laboratory and oscilloscopes from a World War II submarine and shit that we didn't even know what the hell it was. And then there was the stage right guitar world, and Bat had sort of a six-drawer workbox, and the bottom three drawers were empty. The fourth one had like a rolled-up sweatshirt that he would throw on for the 10 minutes. He'd have to go outside and throw his meager amount of gear into the truck at the end of the night. And the top two drawers had sort of a handful of picks thrown in them, and some loose strings, and some to cut the extra. I don't even think he had a guitar tuner.
But,
and somehow the one of Kenny's guitars, he had to shit over there to build a new one. One of Batty splintered into a thousand pieces. Somehow that guitar would be in the show that night and work perfectly. And I realized after a period of time that I was much better served to never even ask him how he did it, because his explanation, I was much better served not knowing than having him explain it to me.
Well, boys.
The bottom three drawers were only empty, Dan, because I drank all the beer that morning. That's all that was.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yannick Gears from Iron Maiden used to wonder how to put his guitars back together as well. I learned it all off Kenny on the coop, you see. Nails and glass.
Yeah, maybe he's right, because I never. They'll tell you that I never came out of the office until it was time to cut the boss's head off.
No.
That's right.
Yes. And so, speaking of the stage show and things and all the craziness that went about, everybody was, not only were they the road crew and stuff, you guys were also all part of the show. You know, at some point, you know, be it a character or something, right?
Yeah.
The thing about that is that what really came from that, which I never experienced anywhere before, and I started a legitimate theater, and it wasn't even this way, was the fact that we did that, and it all stemmed from Coop, like these guys have already said. But the thing about it was that because of that dynamic of us being so much a part of that show, and it was really choreographed to the point that if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you get a sword through your foot or something.
Oh my.
It really did add to the family thing and the camaraderie and the why we were so close, and it was a really special thing. That element of that show was huge.
It seemed like it, you know. And, you know, it's funny. And for those of you that are hanging out, and they're probably wondering, why is D here? We're in the middle of Radio Memphis load-in. This is the first official load-in. And, of course, you know, Ken Barr, you know, my co-host. We got Batty Walsh in from the UK. And, of course, you know, Las Vegas is now checked in. You know, Dan Stevenson. And you guys... You know, all of you wound up, you know, being part of a group and part of a team, and ultimately responsible for what would be the show and what would be the group that everybody aspired to be. You know, just by virtue of how you did things. Would you agree?
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Ken Barr agrees. Yeah, I wasn't sure who was going first.
I you guys are being so polite. This is awesome.
Yeah, it is actually.
It won't last.
Just the fuck up,
look. Thank you, Kenny.
Do your barnyard impression.
You guys are whatever. You know.
Hey Dan. Hey Dan.
Yeah.
I'll listen to your road crew tip. I got it on download and listen to it. And you know what? Just a couple of days later, I had to put it into action. I couldn't believe this about communication and all that. I had to. You would have been proud of me.
What happened?
I was doing a gig over here, and I was crew boss, and one of my team was, well, he was asking the stage manager if he could be broken 3 hours into a 5-hour call, and he didn't want to stay, and, you know, and then he said to me, I've been doing this for 15 years. Whoops-a-daisy. Yeah, I know. that was the wrong thing to say. I just reminded him that nobody cares how long he's been alive, let alone how long he's been doing this, and his mother didn't even send him a birthday card. And don't ask the stage manager at the time. I'm the crew boss. If you want to be broke, ask me. If you don't want to be here, you don't have to be. You can leave now. In fact, I'll get my camera out and take a picture of you leaving. Goodbye. That Dan's road crew tip, it worked really well for communication. I had it, he didn't. So he'd have been proud.
Wow.
Perfect.
Wow. That is...
I've been doing this 15 years. If I'd have gone on the coupe tour, D, and said that to Dancer or Mike Goodwin or Putter or John Cizulli or Tim Gallup, I'd have had the shit kicked out of me really quick.
Without thinking, yes, in a heartbeat.
Well, they'd have just gone, well, we got a real one here. Let's deal with this.
Wow.
No one cares how long you've been doing it. Nobody asked you how long you've been doing it. What do I need to know that for? Your job is to get gear on stage at the moment, not say, can I go now? If you want to go, go, but don't come back. Who cares? Dan Stevenson's tip.
Now, Dan,
I've got a tip for him. Yeah.
You have to be proud.
Yeah, he must
me?
Be.
Me?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, you.
Yeah.
I was always proud of these guys. You got to be kidding me.
I know you were, and that's the funny thing is that you've always had a special place in your heart for them.
Dan always had our back though as well. Dan wouldn't let anyone mess about with us either, with any of the crew. If people were being shitty to us, you know, Dan, you might get him out of his office, come out with the fag going, and go, what the fuck's going on here?
What do you think, Kenny?
I'm just enjoying listening to somebody else talk because I pontificate way too much.
No, come on now. Like I said, these guys are all here, and you know. And again, thank you all of you for being here.
Well, like back to what Dan said, the family element, and I love the use of that word family because it was. You know, we've all done a lot of tours. You know, we've all been in this business 15 years, like that stagehand. And I have not had that level of family ever outside of the coop. And another part of being in the show, which I didn't do as much as some of the other guys, was it's an odd feeling. I remember we were doing the Gutter Cats bit, and Reb Beach was one of the guitar players. And, you know, we bumped chests and, you know, whatever. And his guitar strap came undone, and his Ibanez went flying. And, you know, there's Batty and I, the two guitar techs, and our job at that moment was to be a Gutter Cat. And Reb had to go find his guitar, sort it out himself, and come back and play. And that's a weird feeling as any kind of a tech to just, but that's how it was. That's, you know, being a Gutter Cat was that part of the show. And Reb had to fend for himself, and it was kind of cool, I thought.
Well, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah, I was told that earlier on my first tour, and I figured out, well, what happens here if the guitar player breaks a string or something, and John Cizulli said, you get on with the show, it's the Alice Cooper show, the band will take care of themselves while we're out there doing that. And it's like, well, okay, it's going to be weird to have to do that, but that's what you do. If you're in the middle of fighting Alice Cooper and then somebody loses a string or a guitar, then they'll have to sort it out.
And that's what they do.
Not easy to do at first, but it gets easier.
Hey, Bat, do you still have your vest? Hello?
Hello? Is it me you're looking for?
I think
I didn't hear anything there for a minute. I thought something.
He's asking, Batty. He's asking if you still have your vest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the cut-off denim thing, yeah. I'll stick a picture of that up on the old book space. Yeah, I've got that. And the cut-off gloves and the mirror shades and, you know, little right little tough nuts, you know, like a right bunch. It's that would have been a good group picture. And I had my vest on that one Coop gig. And at that gig at the side of the stage were some bikers, and this vest we wore for the gutter cats was like a biker's patch on the back, and they were
a top rocker and a bottom rocker,
and they were ready to come over looking at me, who's this? And I think it was Dan that said, he's part of the show, leave him alone, he's going to go on in a second and kick Alice's ass. So I thought I was a biker. I was a short skinny biker, quite their ankles.
Not even. Well, Danny, do you have anything special you want to tell these boys? Well, I got you.
Oh, no, I love these guys. They know that.
No.
That's all I got. That's all I need to say to them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, man.
I love you too, Dan.
Yeah, man. Yes, Dan. And glad you're safe out there in Vegas. It's not been a very nice day.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good week to be here.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Everybody's been worried and stuff.
But it might make you happy to know, Bat, further to the story you were telling just a minute ago, is loading out Jennifer Lopez the other night. After I finish with stuff I have to do on the stage, I always go to the warehouse to make sure that the stuff gets put in the warehouse so it comes out properly next time it has to come out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't at the warehouse 10 minutes the other night, and I sent this truckloader home. Sign this guy out right now.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
it doesn't stop, does it?
Well, no.
People can get hurt, you know. And if you're on a minimum 5-hour call, you don't go to the stage manager of the production and say, can I go now? Because they've come into town and they're all wound up between themselves because they've got a slight problem that we can help them fix, perhaps. But we'll stay out of their way, and if they need us, they know where we are, because I said we will be here if you need us. You don't go up to the stage manager and say, can I go now, or are you going to keep me here all day? If you want to leave at any time, be my guest, go, but don't come back.
You won't be back, that's for sure. Time.
Don't ask him what day it is.
Big statement.
Years back, I would have been slightly different, but I had to put the Dan Stevenson head on and think, how would Dan deal with this road crew tip? There
you
go.
He's on that road crew tip. Those of you who are wondering what he's talking about, every Monday night during Memphis Metal Mondays, 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. One of these guys, everybody that we've talked to across the time, you know, somebody comes back and they call in with a radio tip, with a road crew tip, and whether for stage, whether you're on the road, whether you're recording or whatever, and everybody's always come up with some really cool stuff. So, some good stuff. We appreciate that so much.
The curious thing was we had a band here last week. They were from America called Life of Agony.
Okay.
And one, the guitar player had a great sound. I was chatting away with him, and it was their first time over here in Birmingham. We were chatting about Birmingham, and all I happened to say to them was, the one thing I said, you may see some police walking around with guns because things are a bit scary at the minute, but that won't bother you guys, you're used to that, and it being from America. And they're like, yeah, it's no problem. But I said, I can never get my head around why people in your country need machine guns. That's a weird one. And then a couple of days later, there we go, I'll rest my case.
There it is.
Vegas. Yeah,
there it is.
Today, you know. No. I'm glad you're well, Dan. I'm glad you're safe. And I'm glad you're still kicking ass with useless
guys. Yeah, you too, buddy.
No, yeah. Good stuff.
Want to hear my barnyard impression, number one?
Oh, God.
He's not going to let this go.
Oh, you, get off my tractor. and you know what they say? You know the old proverb, red sky at night?
Sailor's delight.
Red sky in the morning. Farmhouse is on fire.
What? Batty, stop.
We're all done. Everybody has to listen.
Well, I tell you what, honey, Dan, thank you so much for stopping down your day for a second and saying hey to these boys.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Oh, always.
Thanks,
are you kidding?
Danny. Good hearing from you, my friend.
All right, guys.
And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, we'll probably hear from Dan on one of these shows and stuff. You guys need to stay tuned for that. But I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and let Dan go. Now, you two stay, okay? You don't go anywhere. We're not done with you yet. What we're going to do is we're going to play a song, you know, we're going to take a commercial break and all that good stuff, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to get into some more stuff right here in the Radio Memphis Lowdown. But I will tell you that this, I'm going to play a song going out into the break, and the reason why I'm going to play this was because it was cool enough that this was sent to me, and I have to say that, you know, Dan was the one that introduced me to the band. I didn't realize who was in it. I've got some Sonia Dada for everybody to listen to, and, you know, and this is actually, Mr. Eric Scott is in this particular outfit right here, so you guys will enjoy that going into the break, and then when we come back, we got some more from Ken Barr and Batty Wall, so you guys, you don't go
anywhere. Do these guys know who Eric Scott is?
You want to tell them?
Who? Yeah, Eric Scott was the bass player when I took over Alice Cooper's band in 1980. Eric Scott was the bass player and the musical director of the band. Friends over the years. And in fact, I walked his wife down the aisle when they got married and all this. He's a good friend of mine, and now I represent him. And he was on Dee's show last Saturday, and she took a liking to some of his stuff, and that's what you're going to hear.
There it is.
I downloaded that tonight. Because a lot of it, you know, I'm a few hours ahead of you guys, and I saw that and I downloaded it. I thought, I'm going to have a listen to this guy.
Yes.
So yeah, check it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, check it. All right, I love you guys. Take care, man.
Okay,
thank
Dan,
you,
take care.
Take care,
man.
Danny.
Love you too.
Thanks,
everybody. Take it easy, bro.
Thanks, Danny. All right. You two don't go anywhere, okay? And for those...
D, your beer. D.
And for those of you that have tuned in, you're tuned into the very first Radio Memphis load-in right here at radio-memphis.com. This is all part of the Radio Road Crew series.
attention. The Radio Memphis Load-In continues right after this.
That is Rob Muschietti for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned into the very first Radio Memphis load-in right here, radio-memphis.com. And, of course, you guys, you've been hearing a couple of things about Rob Muschietti. You guys know him from Propane MOD. He's done some stuff with Genkill. He's done some stuff with Fragile Mortals. This is his solo stuff that he's been coming out with, man, and he's working hard, he's working hot, and he's working very heavy in the studios, busting out his solo album. And, of course, he's going to be announcing... just a little birdie got in my ear. He's going to be announcing, you know, the name of his project, and it is called The Pain Method. You heard it right here first on Radio Memphis. So you guys, make sure you check him out. And if you do, because you heard it here, make sure you tell him D said hey. But right now, D is in the middle of the Radio Memphis load-in. She's hanging out with the co-host, Mr. Ken Barr, and we've got the UK connection, Batty Walsh, all the way in and hanging out with us. All right, boys, how are we doing?
Good. Hanging in there. We're ready to go. Let's get this horse in the barn, as Batty would say.
This is the first one, man. It's the first one's always the hardest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's going good so far. I mean... that's what I say, so, you know.
I think it's going fantastic. And, you know, guys, having some fun with you, you know, tonight for this very, very first show is just to kind of capture the spirit, just for everybody to understand just how much fun we've been having. I've been getting a lot of great responses. You know, everybody, even tonight, I've gotten a couple of responses. Everybody's saying, you know, they're having a fantastic time listening to us, you know, chitter-chatter and go back and forth. But one of the things that, you know, we want everybody to look forward to is that, you know, once a month, on the first Thursday of every month, right here at Radio-Memphis.com, we're going to do the Radio Memphis load-in. And, you know, in the beginning of the show, you know, Kenny and I, we're going to start, you know, we're going to kind of talk and, you know, go around the world and maybe have some thoughts, you know, about what we think is going on. And we're going to start, you know, hearing from a couple of folks, you know, and maybe start doing some round tables and start doing some, you know, some background things. You know, I was on the on an interview, actually the road tip, you know, I did with Dancer, you know, this past Monday. He's actually trying to make it to where he can get Robert Scoville, you know, in.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Night Bob, you know, we're going to do something with, you know, with the live, you know, the front of the house, you know, the live, you know, sound engineers, you know, the recording stuff on one show. You know, we're going to have, you know, Dan come back, and he's going to do something with Mickey Goodwin and, of course, Putter. Putter's
good. Oh, yeah.
And by the way, Putter sends love to you both very much.
Hey, Putter.
Love to Putter.
So, and, you know, we're going to take it.
D, let's just be honest. We're not going to stop until it's 24 hours road crew radio 7 days a week.
You guys are killing me, man. I know, right?
We're going to have a segment, Cooking in the Kitchen with Batty.
Yeah.
Onion on toast. Sure, not required.
Onion on toast.
Onion on toast. That's even better. That's even better. You know, we've had so much fun. And what's even cooler, you know, by talking to you guys, we've been able to start talking to a lot of, you know, a lot of other folks. Because everybody kind of gets associated with everybody at some point, just depending upon what tour you're on, you know, or, you know, what group you're with and as far as, you know, who you're working for at that time. And so this, you know, this family grows, you know, and it goes outside of even some of the shows that you guys may have, you know, been directly involved with. But because you know those guys that were running the tech or doing the stage managing or whatever, you know, we're starting to pull all of those people in too, and everybody's been able to, you know, kind of talk about their stories and talk about some of the amazing things that they've been a part of, and also just, you know, talk about the business, and that's ultimately what this is all about too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're all kind of like that game, that 7 degrees to Kevin Bacon. We all know Kevin Bacon somehow, you know, that's how the industry is. We all know each other.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. What do you think, Batty?
I'll just take the bacon.
Good Lord.
Well, it might have made the onion toast taste better.
Onion on toast.
With bacon.
That's a whole other story, that one is.
Yes. I think I've heard that story. And I think it was
book.
Yeah. Is that gonna be part of the book?
Yeah. I've gotta message you, Ken, and get your number. I'll give you a call because I'm only in 1977 and I haven't left the pubs yet with the pub bands. So this thing could extend into volumes, man.
That's the way to do it.
Man, it's hard work.
That's a page from one of my books. You hook them with the first one and then you sell them the second. Right. That's the,
okay.
And then we released the gold edition, because that's the Gene Simmons method there. And then we'll have the platinum edition available for Christmas. So I've got a whole marketing plan for you.
See?
And then the remastered edition.
You're going to bring...
Exactly.
Only baddie. You guys are funny. And it's I love the fact that everybody has kind of sat back, you know, and really thought about, you know, some of their experiences and stuff, because you guys do need to capture these moments, you know. And there's, and I'd say this all the time, because you wind up being a piece of history that's not written, or it's not captured, it's not in a book, it's not in a photo album, you know what I mean? And you guys were part of some really, you know, extreme and cool moments, you know, during, you know, especially during particular artists, you know, careers and stuff, when you guys were a part of them, you know, on the rise, or you were, you know, you actually worked with some individuals and had some very intimate and very cool, you know, things happen that nobody else under normal circumstances would have been privy to, but that are very special, you know what I mean? And it's very cool. And it's also very reflective on what it is that you do in order to help those things happen as well, you know? And I just think everybody needs to see those things and hear about it.
Oh, you know me. I'm pushing for everybody to write a book.
I know.
I have, you know, when I retire, whenever that may be, I'm sitting in my little rocker with my shelf full of all my brother's stories and their books. And hey, yeah. I think I'll have a bit of putter today. Oh, here we go. Putter poops. That's perfect. Wait, I'm sorry. That was Dancer. See, I'm mixing up the volumes already.
You guys are awful. You guys are absolutely awful. I couldn't be happier spending the first show with you two, though. You know, and you guys, like I said, thank you. You guys have made this so much fun for me. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for I'll thank you for having me. I won't thank you for Bat, because that's Bat. But it's always good to be part of the first.
Yes.
You know, it's the inaugural. And
absolutely.
And it just, yeah, it just, like I said, we're slowly taking
thank you for having
over,
me, and also, I haven't yet, but thanks anyway.
Batty, you know, we love having you. And like I said, you're my little firecracker across the pond, you know, because you're just starting stuff everywhere you go, you know. And it's not like I don't keep up with you. I do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
When are you coming to the U.S.? It's this month, isn't it?
It's the 21st of this month, and I'm hoping that Mr. Greg Smith will hook up with me down there at McSorley's.
Oh, nice.
And, nice.
Well, have an ale.
There's a day you're sure to forget when you wake up in jail.
in New York. They wouldn't keep me in there very long. They'd be glad to get me out of the place.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm surprised I got my ESTA back. You know, that thing we have to fill out now to get into your country. They answer all these questions that you're really going to answer yes. Well, do you have diphtheria? Have you ever been a terrorist? I mean, I don't know. Homeland security is important and all that, but who's going to answer yes to these questions?
Yeah.
I know. That's kind of like a trick, isn't it?
Yeah. But the one trick was, actually, there is a question in there that if I hadn't have been truthful and there was no reason not to be, I maybe would have gotten into trouble when I come to your country, which is, do you hold another passport? And yes, I do.
Oh,
you have an Ireland, right?
World. Irish passport, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll check all that out and go, yeah, he's got two passports.
Yeah, so. You have to.
Yep, 21st of October, I land at.
We'll have to do something another time.
Well, you know, you guys, everybody's going to have to make it to where, you know, everybody kind of meets in the middle, you know, on something. You guys are going to have to make something happen. You know that, right?
That would rock. That would be.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
reunion.
Awesome.
Big, huge reunion, you know, and everybody just roll in, you know, with the same things that they did, you know, when everybody was together before, and see what happens.
Yeah. And Mike Goodwin, unless he's fell asleep. He was on Space Face earlier, and he said, I'll see if I can stay awake. I said, stay awake. I'm 6 hours ahead of you. It's going to be lunch. So, Mike Goodwin, if you're listening, get out of bed.
Listen to you guys. Listen to you guys. Yeah. Well, look, I know... I know that it's you know it's early, you know, for sure, you know, for you know, for Batty, and I know it's very, 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 very late for you, Kenny. So
it's all good.
I know. Again,
yeah.
look, we did it. It's a very, very first one. You know, we were able to get it off the, you know, off the chain and off the hook. So this show is happening once a month, you know, on the first Thursday of every month. So, you know, with that being said, you know, we'll be able to make some really crazy cool things happen. And this is, you know, this could grow into something, you know, very, very, you know, very neat. And I'm hoping everybody will enjoy it.
I think so. Look, I mean, we're all awesome. How could they not enjoy us?
Right. That's what I'm thinking, you know. I'm thinking that, everybody needs to enjoy you.
This is a multicultural, you know, we've got Bat from the UK. We've got me. We've got you. I mean, we're spouting off all kinds of class here. I mean, come on.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I said, we're different countries. You know, we got different places in the States. Everybody's jumping in. Everybody's piled in.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun. And who knows?
Truly.
You never.
Truly international.
Truly international.
Yeah.
And we really are.
Avant-garde, Bat. I mean, come on.
Ivan who?
That is awesome. I want to give a big shout out. Chris Prescott, he just joined in, you know, a little while ago in the chat room and stuff, and he was talking about what a great show this is. He's got this all over Facebook. He was like, you know, he's putting it everywhere. Great show, great group of people,
well,
all
good.
That good stuff.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris,
so,
he said,
yeah,
right? Thanks for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
side of the pond.
Yeah, big shout outs and stuff like that.
You know, Chris is international. He's heard from across the pond. For God's sakes, I mean,
see,
you get a big bang for your buck when you listen to us.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. My phone bill.
Oh, you know, Batty, right? Thank you, honey.
But hell, I thought you were on some international plan. You're paying for this, Bat? Sorry.
Yeah. You gotta help the station along there. It's a good station, you know.
Thank
whatever
you.
Whatever you can do.
Oh, Bat, that's awesome, honey. Thank you so much.
I may have some breaking news. I may be truly international. I mean, I might even be further over across the pond and a bit further to the left in a few months.
Okay.
I could be venturing off on a first tour for quite a while.
Really? Good for you, dude. With who?
Well, yeah, really. With who? Spill the beans, man.
Yeah. Well, I'll message you, Ken.
Okay.
I'll message you.
Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean, hey, Ken? What about me?
I'll message you too, as well.
Oh, okay.
You'll be hooked in there.
We just can't say it on air. Okay.
Okay. I understand that. That's cool.
Yeah. So already. Okay.
Yeah, we'll be truly international. It'll be even later when I phone you.
Okay, you know what? Whoever it is, and eventually someday, you know, we're obviously, everybody's going to get to know who it is that you're going to be able to do this with and go on tour with and stuff. You have to promise me that you're going to be checking in, you know, while I'm on air, wherever you're at with whoever you are with. And we'll do some live stuff while you're doing this.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah, because it'd only be another hour back. It's Europe, so that's another hour further the other way, so that'll be cool.
Okay.
It'll be good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Road report.
All that sort of stuff.
Wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, I know. The International Road Report from Batty.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
One from the road. Here he is.
See?
International Road Report.
We keep building on this. All right, Batty, look, you're in charge of the International Road Report.
Yeah, that's your division.
Kenny and I are both going, man, take it. Please, take something.
International Road Report, and, you know, I'm still trying to hook up with a few crew here, a local, that you never see. There's the likes of me and Kenny that get it up on stage and get it going. Then there's the likes of the other crew that nobody probably even thinks about. That's the crew that gets it out of the truck.
Yeah.
The local.
Yeah.
Definitely. Those guys are the backbone. They absolutely are.
Yeah, Batty's got...
with a few of those.
Yeah, Batty's got like a special Mission Impossible going for me. You know, he's actually going to start... He's going to start, you know, trying to do some reconnaissance work and grab some words, you know, from these guys and stuff, and maybe we'll be able to share here, you know, on air. So I'm looking forward to that too. So, all right.
Some of those guys would kill to go on a tour, and they just can't get the break. You know,
wow.
And there's some good techs, and there they are emptying trucks, which is a big important part of the show.
You know, it's very important. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's a really big thing. Well, boys, I believe we just had our first successful show, and I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me here.
Congrats, Dee. It was you put this together, so congrats to you.
Thank you, honey. Yeah. Thank you, honey. Listen, Kenny, you get you some rest. By the way, don't forget that you are, yeah. Kenny, you're up. You know, remember, you've got the road tip that's coming up on Memphis Metal Mondays. That's coming Monday night, you know, at 9:30.
I'm all good. I actually almost started segueing right into it, you know. It's like I'm just going to talk on your radio from now till Monday.
We're going to have to get you a separate channel, man. And you know, Batty, I know that, you've got some good stuff for us, and so we're going to figure out some things that I need to get with you, Sonny.
I've got a good tip for you. It's a little embarrassing, I suppose, but I only did it once, and that's how good of a tip this tip is. You'll never do it again.
Okay, well,
it's
then...
It's a road tip, and it's all clean, but it's something that you would just never think of, and I did it one time, and I never did it again, because... You just need to do it once.
Okay. Well, then you're next after. Okay, you're next after Kenny, and then and then I got to pull someone. But yeah, okay, you're it. we're gonna work this out. Boys, you have a wonderful night and a wonderful morning. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in then.
All right. Listen, get
take
you.
Take care, Bat. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, yeah. Take care, Ken. I'll be in touch. I'll message you and I'll have a chat with you.
Awesome.
All right.
All right, brother. Take care, man. Good to hear you. Stay safe.
You too. All right, take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Take care, America. Be good. Love each other and all that stuff. And I'll speak to you soon.
Yes.
I'll be in touch, Dee.
Okay, honey. Thank you.
Take care, bub.
All right. That right there. Ken Barr, you know, part of Ken Barr Films. And, of course, you know, he was one of the masterminds that helped us, you know, helped me help create Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series, which ultimately led to the tips, which ultimately led to this show tonight, the very first Radio Memphis Load-In. Guys, you make sure every Thursday, it's actually the first Thursday, I'm sorry, the first Thursday of every month if we're going to do this. Once a month, it's a special two-hour show. And again, you know, tonight was a lot of fun. Tonight was just cracking the ice and getting everybody real excited about, you know, what it is. And of course, there's going to be more stuff. We're going to keep building on this this concept, and we're going to get everybody to kind of jump in and learn a little bit more about what goes on behind the scenes. And so you want to stay tuned. Make sure you go to the Radio Memphis, or the Road Crew Radio Series page. We have a Facebook page. And if you're not sure where you can find some of the stuff, you guys always know that you can catch up with us on Radio Memphis, all right, and all of our social media outlets. And of course, on Memphis Metal Mondays, Radio Memphis around the world, anywhere you see D, I'm going to have some of the stuff out there for you. I want to thank everybody, you know, for tuning in and spending some time with us right here on Radio Memphis. You know, a big, huge, special thank you to Ken Barr, honey. I couldn't have done it without you. We so appreciate that.
Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Memphis Load-In, brought to you by Ken Barr Films and Radio Memphis. This is all part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series, where we bring you insights from behind the scenes of that incredible record you just bought, that awesome live concert you just saw, or even that fantastic event you might have attended by sitting down and talking to the pros. Check out the Radio Memphis Load-In show on the first Thursday of every month, starting at 10 p.m. Central. It's only happening at Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.